safer and not less safe. You ask about the national scene. So this is a complicated problem because both San Francisco and Portland, because of their local ordinance and because of our state law that basically said you can't collect information about people without reasonable suspicion of criminal activity, those don't necessarily exist everywhere in the United States. Mm-hmm. So it might not be to replicate this everywhere, but on, you know, that being said, we know that concerns about immigration being used for just getting people out of the country for no reason is a very big problem, especially under President Trump. So I think there are people who want to kind of look to this as one organizing principle or idea that they can work on to push back against the government deportations.
All right. Dan Handelman, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us and for your work on this campaign.
Thank you.
All right.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. Next up is The Underground.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring. We are seeking a full-time chief engineer. Applications are due by midnight on Monday, March 4th, to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214, or by emailing engineerhire@kboo.fm. To apply, please send both a resume and a cover letter outlining your skills and experience with regards to the minimum qualifications and by answering the following question: why is KBOO important? For more information and a full job description, go to kboo.fm/engineer2019. KBOO is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer. Women and people of color are encouraged to apply. Again, for more information, go to kboo.fm/engineer2019.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Clinton Street Resistance Series every Monday night at the Clinton Street Theater. Monday, March 4th, Clinton Street Resistance will screen The Great Muppet Caper, where Kermit the Frog, The Great Gonzo, and Fozzie Bear are reporters for the Daily Chronicle, traveling to Britain to report on the theft of the baseball diamond. This week's screening benefits the Circus Project. Again, that's The Great Muppet Caper, showing Monday, March 4th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
What's up? This is KVOO Portland. I'm Virgil, and this is you're listening to the Youth Collective. Our first piece is by Elizabeth, and it's a poem. Enjoy.
Solitude comes in different flavors. It's a spectrum of thoughts and feelings, of people and lack thereof. Solitude means different things to different people. To some, it can be a calming escape from the chaos of reality, all the noise and the people, all the conflict and drama. Things are much simpler when you're alone. For others, it's a prison, a cramped and lonely cell, with cold stone walls of frustration and insecurity and tears, finally getting the nerve to chip away at the walls, only to stop yourself before you've even made a dent. Most of all, solitude provokes different emotions: sadness, happiness, anger, serenity, loneliness, and contentment. As you can see, solitude, just like most states of being, is not the same for everyone. What does solitude mean to you?
That was Elizabeth, and in case you weren't aware, our theme for this month is solitude. Next up, we have a song called Dissolve by Abso Facto.
Just wanted you to watch me dissolve. Smoking all month long, like you're someone I believe in. Am I only a lab rat? Someone you can test things on? This isn't what I signed up for. I just wanted you to. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
That was the song Dissolve by Abso Facto, and next up we have a piece by yours truly, which is me talking about solitude for 5 minutes. Enjoy. Solitude, aka the pretentious people word for being alone, at least in my opinion. Maybe that isn't the actual definition of the word, but I'm your dad now, and for the sake of this piece, solitude and being alone are the same thing. Because if I say solitude, I feel pretentious, so for the sake of this piece, as well as my sanity, let's just say alone. And I'm pretty sure that we've all felt alone at some point. If not, you're either lying or you're very, very lucky, but you're probably lying. Even if you haven't had a single day where you haven't spent time with your friends, you can still be alone. Alone doesn't always mean being physically alone. Alone also means being alone emotionally. It can mean not having anybody you can count on. You can be friends with your entire school and still be alone, if none of those people are really there for you. Just because someone hangs out with you doesn't mean you can count on them. And on the flip side, just because someone says they care about you doesn't mean they're there when you need them to be. Because if a person is truly there for you, they won't have to say anything. They're just gonna be there. There's a difference. and it's an important difference. There have been times in my life where I've been so incredibly alone and felt like a bad person for it the entire time because I had friends. I had people who said they were there for me. We made plans, we hung out, we said, I love you, I miss you, we need to hang out soon. But those are just words. Those same people who I thought of as my best friends made me feel horrible. I felt like I couldn't talk about certain things or like different things than the people I was friends with. I felt guilty and ashamed of things that nobody should ever be judged for. And the whole time, I never, not even for a second, guessed that it was them and not me. Because they said they cared. But the thing is, anybody can say anything. That doesn't mean they're gonna mean it. It doesn't mean they're gonna follow through with it or even think of doing so for a second. I had friends, yes. I had close friends. And I was busy doing stuff with them so much of the time. But I was still alone. Physically, no, but deep down, I was so, so incredibly alone. Because the people in my life weren't there for me when it mattered. Nowadays, I hardly have anyone that I see. I spend most of my time when I'm not at school doing things by myself, but I'm not alone, not truly, because I have people who are there for me when it matters now. They're few and far between, sure, but they're there, and that's all that matters to me. Sometimes, I think you need to look at what someone does instead of what they say. I know that's helped me, because I've met a lot of people who never come through for me. They say they do, they say they care, and maybe they mean it, but 9 times out of 10, regardless of what their intentions are, their actions only have a negative effect. Doesn't mean they have negative intentions. In fact, I'd say a lot of the time they don't, and that makes it harder. But at the end of the day, if someone is doing more harm than good in your life, they shouldn't be in it. And on the flip side of this, I've lost people because they weren't saying enough. This was mostly when I was somewhat of a little kid. When 9 out of 10 people my age didn't know how to process emotions or just straight up hadn't developed them yet. And I was the one who did. I didn't express them either, mind you. Although perhaps I did some more than the other kids, I wouldn't necessarily remember. What I made up for in emotional maturity, though, I lacked in self-awareness, or honestly just the ability to put 2 and 2 together and use basic sense, because I couldn't seem to fathom that somebody could have positive feelings for me without openly expressing them. Nobody ever flat out told me they liked me, or that they wanted to be friends with me, and in my young, vaguely introverted mind, that meant nobody felt that way. Although despite the fact that I, while liking a lot of people, never did or said anything about it. It wasn't that hard to figure out, honestly, although I can't blame myself at that age, because when I was little, approximately 99% of the space in my brain was dedicated to creating bizarre fantasy role-playing games, and creativity doesn't leave much time for feelings. To this day, despite knowing logically that nothing else could have been done differently, one of my biggest regrets is that I didn't realize any of this sooner. Although I don't remember any of the exact numbers, I know there have been approximately too many times that I've lost interest in someone because they didn't explicitly tell me they cared. And looking back on it, they didn't need to, they showed it. Time and time again, they showed it. But I didn't realize that what they were doing was a sign of affection until way too late. I can't blame them for not saying anything, either. I'll admit, I used to, but when I think back on it more, they were probably, like me, emotionally repressed and vaguely introverted. But I didn't realize that. However, I realize that now, and I will not make the same mistake again. I'm not sure how to end this piece. I'd like to end it on a happy note with some positive, inspiring message about life, but I don't know how to do that. I don't even know what that would be. I guess I can just end it with this. I'm not claiming that any of what I said in this was fact. These are my opinions formed from my experiences. I'm not saying they're the right ones. I'm not a life coach, so don't expect me to tell you how to live life. If this helped you, cool. If it didn't, cool. Although I'd like to think that I at least mildly entertained you for the last 5 minutes of your life. Peace out.
Hi, this is Roya. My piece is next. I'm really proud of it. I would just like to give a small trigger warning. There is a brief mention of suicide and self-harm, so if that could trigger you in any way, please don't listen to it. Take care of yourself. Yeah.
Solitude. AKA
is loneliness exactly. Some people might say it's what you feel when you're alone, but how do we define being alone? There's being alone physically, and that can definitely make you feel lonely. But what about being mentally alone? Are you ever in a room full of people but feel like you're the only person who exists? Are you surrounded by friends and family but still feel like there's nobody in your life you can talk to? Well, that's what I like to call mental loneliness. Mental loneliness causes people to feel empty, alone, and unwanted. And as we know, it's not necessarily about being alone. It's about feeling isolated. For example, a child might feel lonely because they have a hard time making friends. Someone might experience loneliness because they feel mentally disconnected from their friends. Someone might feel lonely because they lost a loved one they were close to. Now, none of these people are necessarily alone, but they feel lonely. Some physical side effects of loneliness are depression, which can cause us to feel even more empty and isolated, drug abuse, higher stress, trouble sleeping, and even heart problems. The mental toll it takes can lead to suicide or self-harm. Many people feel lonely because they are already struggling with their mental health and don't feel that anyone can relate to them. The fact is, loneliness is a normal human emotion. Everyone feels lonely from time to time, but it becomes a problem when it starts affecting your life and mental health or physical health. What are some good ways to tackle loneliness, you might be asking? Well, depends. One of the first things is accepting the fact that you feel this way. Next, you should ask yourself, what would make me feel the least lonely? This differs from person to person, because loneliness is different for everyone. It would be hard and nearly impossible for me to give the perfect advice. Would making a new connection help? Would it help to talk to people in my life that I feel disconnected to? These are all good questions to ask yourself. And no matter what the answer is, know that you are not alone in your loneliness, and there are many great resources that can help you. If you are in a crisis, please call 1-800-273-8255. You are not alone. I promise.
That was Roya, and up next is a song, Collect Call, by Metric.
Out, baby, how you going?
Up next, we have a play by Maeve and a short intro also by Maeve.
Hey there, it's me, Maeve, the man, the myth, the legend. I'm just kidding. The piece up next I wanted to give a short introduction to, just because on its own, with no context, it's a little bit weird, as a lot of my writing is. And this piece is the first in a series that will air on this show as sort of its own individual segment, but each one will tie into our theme of the month. The series is called Interhaven, or the Interhaven Weekly Informer, and you'll see why in just a moment. It's featuring Roya and Virgil and Andrew as voices this time around. So thanks for listening. Good evening, friends and enemies, and welcome to the Interhaven Weekly Informer. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Universicorp. Citizens are reminded that all light sources within city limits must be registered with the Bureau within 3 days of entering the city. This includes lanterns, flashlights, tinderboxes, flares, and electric appliances. If you do not register a light source within the required time period, the Bureau retains the right to seize the light source in question as well as all other light sources in your possession. You have been warned. Due to reports from Direfall of scavenging parties of loyalists in the area, city gates will be closed from the hours of 5 p.m. to 10 a.m. until further notice. Security has been tightened around all gates. It is for your own good. Remember, loyalists are lawless and often violent. They are not welcome within Interhaven city limits. Recently, there have been reports of a ball of light appearing in the sky for brief periods of time. We can't be completely sure what it is or why it's here, but there have been 7 different sightings thus far. Hopefully, next week's press briefing will shed a little light on the subject. Pun not intended. In the meantime, the Bureau reminds citizens of Interhaven that whatever the ball of light is, it is not the sun. The Bureau formally discourages the spread of any and all propaganda regarding the sun, or lack thereof. A team of our own reporters had the privilege to attend the long-anticipated reopening of Liberty Square last Sunday. The square was closed for reconstruction after the unfortunate incident last winter, and is now finally open for public use again. The new and improved Liberty Square features an Interhaven Visitor Center, a community garden, and a statue commemorating Dirk Evanson, an Interhaven citizen who rose to the rank of Lieutenant Colonel in the Great War. An inscription reads, "To those who bravely fought for us to keep our freedom." The statue stands approximately 7 feet tall, not counting the pedestal base, and will be rotated to face whichever district of the city has the highest black market activity on a weekly basis, in an attempt to symbolically shame Interhaven into law-abiding tendencies. And now, over to your community representative.
Hi, Interhaven. I'm Kryn, your community representative. Today, I'd like to bring your attention to the Community Service Association and all the work they've done for our great city. Just yesterday, the Community Service Association announced their latest project, a program that de-incentivizes the hoarding of batteries by allowing citizens to exchange dead batteries for credit, half-punch punch cards to local businesses, fresh fruit vouchers, and first-class train tickets. There have been 3 battery rings busted in the past month alone, and this problem isn't going to get any better without the people's help. So, take it from me. Batteries are Class 2 non-tradable goods, and battery chargers of any kind are not allowed in private dwellings. Turn in your batteries to the Community Service Association now, and there will be no questions asked. There are 6 Community Service Association offices total, 1 in every district. Precisely 2 of them are open to inquiries at a time, so check the schedule in the Interhaven Inquirer's Around the Town pages. On another note, do be careful to keep tabs on your young children at all times. All entities resembling lost children will be taken into Bureau custody immediately and placed in solitary confinement until a family member files a repossession claim. You can never be too careful.
Thank you, Kryn. And now, a message from our sponsor.
Are you tired of seeing the bad side of things? Is your glass half empty? Is your day dampened by constantly empathizing with the suffering of others? Introducing rose-colored glasses. Rose-colored glasses paint Interhaven in a brand new light, erasing or modifying all those little things that get you down on a daily basis. Just put them on like any other pair of glasses and watch your troubles go away. Stray trash? Gone. Stray animals? Gone. Stray children? Gone. Plus, customize other aspects of your environment, like the color of the sky. Rose-colored glasses also come as prescription lenses. Rose-colored glasses, a new lens on life. Brought to you by UniversiCorp, the shining star in the darkness of the apocalypse.
Thanks to UniversiCorp, the Interhaven Weekly Informer is released on schedule, on time, absolutely free. UniversiCorp's generosity is one of the family values that their brand promotes, and we could not be more thankful for this partnership. And now, the weather. The ash flurries we saw sporadically last week are returning tomorrow, stronger than ever, and will continue through Friday with little to no break. Luckily, we're due for some light showers on Saturday with a high of 70, so the buildup of ash on the streets should be minimal. It will continue to be cloudy through next week, as it has been for as long as any of us can remember. Don't forget your umbrella tomorrow. Ash is harmless in moderation, but inhaling excessive amounts could be harmful to your health. And now we return to...
This is Broadcast 1, code number 7510582, the Hopeful Loyalists. We don't have much time before our signal gets traced, so please listen carefully. If this went through correctly, we should be broadcasting to Interhaven and the surrounding wilds. We can't disclose our names or location for safety reasons, but I want to alert everyone living within Interhaven city gates. You are trapped. The Bureau doesn't want you to leave. The Bureau wants to keep you in the dark, both figuratively and literally. We've been hearing about the recent crackdown on batteries. It's propaganda. Do not give up your batteries. Energy is freedom. A flashlight is freedom. To those of you who have been trying to make contact, we do exist. There are three outposts between Interhaven and Direfall. If you can make it past city limits and into the wilds with the supplies for 3 days, you should be able to find us. We're always on the lookout for other hopefuls, but especially right now. There's not much time before we get locked out of the broadcast, but to the rest of you, naysayers, non-believers, ordinary citizens, please listen to me. I know it's been this way for as long as most of us can remember, but please, think, do some research, look at your surroundings and the rules that govern them. Why are books from the before regulated so heavily? When was the last time you saw an animal other than a crow outside of the zoo? What about the sun? It's there! It's always been there!
Citizens, the Interhaven Weekly Informer would like to apologize for the disruption. Our broadcast was compromised from the outside. This is a prime example of why loyalists and their rogue factions are dangerous. The falsehoods that they spread are not only rooted in delusion, but could also have detrimental results should anyone in our great city actually be foolish enough to follow the reckless directions given. The wilds are no place for humans, and trips between cities must be taken by train or licensed caravan to ensure the safety of all parties involved. Once again, the Bureau formally denounces the spread of any and all propaganda regarding the sun, or lack thereof. The Bureau will be looking into the broadcast interruption in today's episode at their earliest opportunity. In the meantime, stay safe, stay sane, and don't interact with anyone wearing a crow insignia. This episode of the Interhaven Weekly Informer is brought to you by UniversiCorp.
This was developed in association with former Youth Collective member Ryan. Tune in next month for the next installment of the Interhaven Weekly Informer. Up next, we've got a piece by Andrew. Enjoy! There's a slight error with the disc. Give me one moment, please.
How long could you spend alone? No means of measuring time, no means of communicating with others except for the occasional check-in to see whether you're doing okay. For some, it sounds like heaven, a getaway for a while, the chance to be alone. For others, it's hell. No communication, only some books and a small pet or two to keep you company. The boredom would run rampant. Whether you think you'd enjoy it or not, it's been done before. On the 13th of January, 1989, Stefania Follini, an interior designer, journeyed into the Carlsbad Caverns for an experiment about circadian rhythms. She would stay in there for another 4 months, subsisting off of mostly beans and rice. Over time, her day-night cycle, or in other words, the amount of time she stayed awake and then slept for in a cyclical pattern, shifted from 24 hours, the usual day, to around 28 to 30 hours, and towards the end, a 48-hour cycle. She said that the 20x20 plexiglass cube she lived in felt gloomy, as there was nobody else but her pets and guitar. How does any of this relate to anything, though, right? Well, for one, at the time, NASA was quite interested in the experiment. To draw the not-so-easy-to-make connection between space travel and spending 4 months underground, they were interested in the effects of long-term space travel, which this experiment helped to simulate, though obviously not exactly. Of course, this doesn't affect us personally, but while Fellini's internal clock was massively disrupted by spending so long underground, our own internal clocks can also be shifted off course in admittedly smaller ways quite easily. Jet lag, staying up too late, or regular shifts can all upset your body's natural rhythms and make it harder to get back to the mental capacity you should be at. Make sure you take care of your body and get enough sleep.
Up next, we have a song by Marina and the Diamonds, or now Marina, called Solitaire.
Don't wanna talk anymore. I'm obsessed with silence. I go home and I lock my door. I can hear the sirens. I see buildings and birds from the window. And I listen to the wind blow. I see people and cars covered in gold. And I'm happy to be on my own. Hard like a rock, cool like stone. White like a diamond, black like gold. Cut like a jewel, yeah, I repair myself when you're not there. So I'm in love with the ice blue.
Hello, everyone. This is Luke. Our next piece is by Tristan. And what do I do? Tristan's going to introduce his next piece.
Hey, so I'm Tristan. I am new to the KBOO Youth Collective, and I'd just like to say that I am super grateful for being here tonight, and my piece is going to be about Japan specifically and how loneliness over there is an issue. So without any further ado, I'd like to get on with my piece. Solitude and loneliness obviously isn't limited to just the United States. In fact, people claim that there are other countries that are about as lonely or more, and Japan generally seems to be one of those countries. Let's take a look at loneliness in Japan, what its effects are, and how people are dealing with it. In Japan, loneliness has gotten worse over the past decades. They have a word, hikikomori, meaning a person who has isolated themselves from the rest of society and literally locked themselves in their own home. More people are dying alone in Japan, and there is even a whole industry that's just for cleaning out the homes of those people. How's it any different from the US, though? For one thing, people often experience more severe loneliness in Japan. A survey was done last year by the Kaiser Family Foundation and The Economist that took a look at Japan, the US, and the UK. It showed that while more people in Japan didn't say they were lonely, out of the people that did, the percentage of those who did report that their case was a major issue was higher than in the other two countries. In fact, this percentage was about 50%, or double that of the US or the UK. Just living alone, like many people in Japan do, doesn't mean your social life sucks. But even then, the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, or OECD, has produced research statistics which point to Japan being the loneliest country in the world, according to a Japan Times article from late last year. Moreover, according to statistics, 15% of Japanese people don't have any social interaction with anyone outside of their own family, and 20% of Japanese people have been single, or at least unmarried, their whole lives. Loneliness often isn't talked about openly. In Japan, this also seems to be the case to some extent. While I was trying to gather some information on people's personal experiences, I got a response saying that they didn't want to take the interview because the topic was sensitive for them. This is understandable, since the reasons behind their loneliness may be hard to talk about. In general, loneliness is often linked with other problems in life, such as depression and having a harder time fitting in with others. In Japan, bullying seems to be another big problem, or at least among younger people. Bullying someone often takes the form of excluding that person, leaving them feeling lonely and rejected, especially in Japan. One example of this was a story posted by a high school teacher on Quora, who lived for a few years in Japan. His story was from one of his friends, who was a mixed Korean and Japanese person, who was bullied by classmates and was even indirectly called ugly by her own teacher because of her ethnicity. Situations like this may lead to loneliness, since the person is isolated from the rest of their peers. Even though it may seem hopeless at times, there are different ways people deal with loneliness in Japan. One cafe business has taken action against loneliness and has single customers sit down with a big stuffed animal to keep them company. These fictional plush characters are called Moomins. They look like white hippos and were invented by a Finnish artist named Tove Jansson, who passed away no more than 2 or 3 years before the cafe opened up in 2003. There are other places a person can go to feel less lonely, and of course, there are places where you can find a long-term solution to your loneliness easier. After going to Reddit and asking what people's personal experiences with loneliness in Japan were, I got a reply from a user telling me about a help center chain called Health United Bulletin, or HUB for short. After multiple Google searches and even looking on Google Maps trying to find out about this place, I didn't really find much. According to the user on Reddit, he goes there whenever he feels lonely, and he sees a lot of other lonely guys there too. Even though he claims that a lot of the other people are strange and there's even sometimes fights, you can still get used to being there and start hanging out with other people. Will there ever be a solution to this crisis in Japan? Will Japan be the first to figure out a cure for mass loneliness? Or will they take inspiration from other countries who've greatly reduced their loneliness issues? Well, I mean, it is hard for a government or some other organization to get a society of over 100 million people to generally change their habits and behavior and be more open-minded towards people who don't fit in as well. There's the factor of cost, and then there's people afraid or otherwise unwilling to change what or how they're doing things. And there's also rounding up enough people to help others do that, such as therapists, and the list goes on and on. But maybe there are alternative ways of doing it that doesn't require so much effort from one source. One idea may be an app that encourages people with similar interests to come together, hang out, and chat. Kind of like Match, but for regular friends and not just two people at a time. A mobile app or website like this probably already exists, and if not, it would probably be somewhat easy to make it. Similar apps, like Reddit, where real-life meetups are often planned out and scheduled, definitely exist and could be used in kind of the same way. Just get more people to use things like this, such as through advertising on platforms like YouTube, and we could be on our way to really reducing loneliness in Japan. With technology getting better so frequently and people coming up with new and different ways to help people out, someday we may finally get the solution that people are looking for. This is Tristan for the KBOO Youth Collective.
All right, that was Tristan's piece. And the next song is Islands by Sarah Bareilles.
Ha, ha, ha. Stop. Waiting for the concrete block top to settle down. Long enough for me to get off and get a little ground. I'm ready for the sea change. Felt this coming from a mile away. And now you're looking at me, babe. And how we'll separate if we can. 'Cause I still count on one hand the number of good men I know. It's like I'm standing on the just a telephone wire trying to get to you first. To say the world's on fire, holding my breath until I know you're alright. Because the water will only rise. When will you realize you must become an island? You must become. Surprise you by getting too close. Anybody but me, though. You've made exceptions to your rules, and I was staring down truth. Neither one of us wants to know. It's like I'm standing on the edge. Just a telephone wire trying to get to you first. To say the world's on fire, holding my breath until I know you're alright. Because the water will only rise. When will you realize you must become an island?
because the water will only rise.
That was Sarah Bareilles with Islands. The next piece is Luna's piece.
Solitude.
It's not a way. If you're from a reality like the internet, then just wait until it gets invented. It always gets invented. It's not a way. If you're from a reality like the internet, then just wait until it gets invented. It always gets invented. And up is Carl.
Hello, this is Susan Cecil, and I love KBOO. Do you love KBOO? Call us at 503-231-8032, extension 302, and tell us why you love KBOO. We'll use the audio during our upcoming spring membership drive. It takes the community to support the community radio station, KBOO! Yay! The number again, 503-231-8032, extension 302. This has been Susan Cecil for KBOO Portland, signing out. Bye!
KBOO Radio is proud to co-sponsor the 29th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films, happening Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, now through Saturday, March 2nd. Most films will show at the Moriarty Arts and Humanities Building, room 104 at PCC Cascade Campus, 705 North Killingsworth Street in Portland. Again, that's the 29th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, now through Saturday, March 2nd. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Sorry about that. We had some technical difficulties there. All right, now on to Luna's piece.
Hello, hello, one and all listening in. This is your host, Chelsea Marlowe, coming to you live from my cozy little studio outside the city. This is my usual little advice column. I am here for your questions and thoughts and worries. Remember, you can always email me your questions. My email is listed on my website. If you're from a reality lacking the internet, then just wait until it gets invented. It always gets invented. And first up is Carl, and he says,
hello? Can you hear me? I'm not sure what happened. The lights are off, and the buttons are dimmed. I'm not entirely sure if it's only the lights, or if my mic is off too. Or maybe the station's off. Can the station be off? Did the station die? But can the station die? Is it even alive? It does what it wants, so I'd assume it is. Then is it dead? And if it is dead, did Gable die as well? Wait. Am I dead? I don't feel quite dead. I mean, a bit tired, perhaps, but I did forget my morning coffee. And I was never sure I wasn't dead in the first place. Perhaps I died when I came to the station, when I changed to become the host that you, whoever's listening, know and love, hopefully. I could be a ghost. But Gable's not a ghost, and he was consumed by the station, too. He can leave, though. I can't. Seems a little unfair when I say it out loud. Why is that, I wonder? Why can he leave, and I can't? It's like the station is afraid I'll leave forever, which of course I wouldn't. This is my home. My cozy little studio and the station's all I have and all I need. And if I am dead, What would even be the point of leaving? What can you even do while dead? Rot, that's what. But if I am dead now, then who's listening? I'm talking to thin air. Might as well not even talk into the mic. But what if someone is listening? Maybe one person somewhere in this multiverse. Maybe she wants to hear this. Or maybe she has a question that I can't answer with the station being dead. And maybe she can't even hear me. Maybe none of you can hear me. What use is my show without its listeners? Then I truly have no reason to be stuck in this station. None whatsoever. None. And nothing keeping me in. If the station is dead, then I have nothing holding me here, unless I'm a ghost, but that's a maybe. I could leave. I could leave and go to a coffee shop and drink something other than instant coffee. I could burn down buildings. I could kiss someone or eat an egg roll. I could find Carl. I could find all of my loyal listeners. I could thank them in person. I could kill them. I could marry them. I can do anything. I will do anything. Goodbye, goodbye, dear sweet listeners. Maybe I'll find you someday, whatever reality I end up in. This was Chelsea Marlowe, and this is the end of my show. Out of my way, Gable!
Hold up.
Not today, mister. The station's dead, and I'm...
The lights have stopped working. Just the lights. And the Wi-Fi. Nothing else.
Just that.
You always jump to conclusions, Marlowe. And now the station is angry about the whole escape business. My coffee has turned into blood. I'm not sure what kind. And the music files got mixed around, so I ended up having to put a chipper cell phone jingle in the background of my obituary segment. Everything is going wrong.
But I wanted to leave. Just for a minute, just to...
Look, I don't want to face the wrath of the sentient radio right now.
Well, what do they expect from me?
Probably this, but we do have at least some order to uphold, specifically that my show is on in 30 seconds.
Well, my day just got a whole lot worse. Maybe if I was a ghost, I could leave.
If you were a ghost, I'd still have my allotted time, so...
Fine, fine. But let me do my outro. This was Chelsea Marlowe, still held working for the station, still on in an hour with the music segment. Up next is Gable, being rather rude and tapping his foot like an impatient child next to me. Anyway, tomorrow I'll be sure to answer your questions and concerns, lovelies. For now, stay lively, listeners. Stay alive.
All right, that was Luna's piece. And the next song is... what is this?
Soliton.
Soliton by Steam Power Giraffe.
Space and time could come undone, and with a blast create a conundrum. Then particles of light could seethe and burn rainbows across the galaxy. The moon could crumble before our eyes, then break apart and vaporize. The stars could explode and boil Earth's seas and rip the fabric of reality. Well, I don't care if all that happens. Everything is fine as long as there's a you and me. Even when the sky is falling, back to you we'll travel and escape with no matter how many times it should be. I'll keep you moving on like a soliton, a soliton, a soliton. automaton. I'll keep you moving like a soliton, a soliton, a soliton. Even when the moon shatters the tide, I will always follow.
Thank you for listening to The Underground. We're sorry about the technical difficulties. The Underground is hosted every fourth Wednesday by the KBOO Youth Collective. We meet every Wednesday at KBOO at 6 p.m. to plan our show. If you're interested in getting involved, come on down or call our youth advocate, Aaron Yankee, at 503-231-8032, extension 221, or email youth at kboo.org. We also do a music show, Youth Randomonium, which airs the second Friday of every month from 8 to 10 p.m. We're always looking for music by anyone under 21 of any style. And check out our website, kboo.fm/theunderground or kboo.fm/youth. Next up is Sojourner Truth. Thank you for listening.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring. We are seeking a full-time chief engineer. Applications are due by midnight on Monday, March 4th to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214, or by emailing engineerhire@kboo.fm. To apply, please send both a resume and a cover letter outlining your skills and experience with regards to the minimum qualifications and by answering the following question. Why is KBOO important? For more information and a full job description, go to kboo.fm/engineer2019. KBOO is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer. Women and people of color are encouraged to apply. Again, for more information, go to kboo.fm/engineer2019. KBOO Community Radio is hiring.
You are listening to KBOO Portland at 7 o'clock. Time for Sojourner Truth Radio.
Welcome to Sojourner Truth. Thank you for staying with us. This is your host, Margaret Prescott. Today, we continue our series on the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, known as SNCC. Today, we focus our attention on musician, actor, and civil rights campaigner, Harry Belafonte. If you've missed any part of this series, you can go to SoundCloud to find previously posted shows. You can also find them on our website and our Facebook page. Today, we're going to hear the speech that Harry Belafonte gave to the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee 50th Anniversary Conference. Harry Belafonte, a child of immigrants from Jamaica in the Caribbean, Harry Belafonte depicted the struggles of Black people in the United States, the Caribbean,